Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
The attack by Russia on Ukraine continues to worry markets, and we've seen it show up significantly in how oil prices have actually moved. And this could have implications on, say, global growth, policy movements from central banks across the world, and even OPEC's much-awaited policy meeting, which, by the way, Russia also counted as one of the most influential members of that coalition that will vote on how much they will increase output to meet global demand. There's a lot of moving parts here, and of course, also market volatility that parts through. Today on Money FM 89.3, we are pleased to be joined by Mr. Stephen Innes, who's the managing partner at SBI Asset Management. He joins us after being months away from our program, but he agreed to join us to share his insights on how all of these fast-moving events are impacting markets and commodity prices. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health out in Thailand. Welcome back to the show, sir, and it is a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, JP. It's good to chat with you again.
So, you know, Russia's attack, of course, on Ukraine really shaking up markets in the last week and a half. I'm sure you saw it from the VIX index to where Brent crude headed. Volatility seems to have found a second, a third, and even a fourth wind. Investors seem to be still fairly risk-off and nervous. Now, some in the markets believe that geopolitical shocks, especially when you look at previous episodes, tend to have a short-lived impact on where markets head. But is this time a bit different based on your decades of covering the market, Stephen?
You know, it's interesting because we're really talking about a military superpower, and this is a problem right now, and also a massive supplier of fossil fuels to the global markets, and this is another problem. And really what we're seeing most of the angst play through are two channels right now. One is through the weakening ruble, and one is through the through higher oil prices. Higher oil prices, of course, have negative connotations through basically everybody in the world who has to import oil. It's going to make cost of living a lot more expensive, and that's the worry people are having. You know, the boots on the ground are having, but it's also the worry that central banks are having because they're caught in this awkward situation of trying to balance inflation and growth. And that's a problem right now. Look, Russia is not a very large part of the global economy. Okay, their GDP is smaller than Spain, for example. The market right now seems to be acknowledging that. However, my view here is that things turn extremely ugly on the war front, risk aversion may encourage dollar hoarding. Now, that's a big problem for everybody around the capital markets. And also, it's going to make some significant adjustments in the path of qualitative policy from central banks. So there's a lot of positioning in the markets anticipating rate hikes from a plethora of central banks that could all get reversed out. Mm-hmm. For instance, today, we're starting to see some of that getting pared back right now. This is why we're starting to see equity markets return, as some elements in the market are starting to think that developed market pricing is pricing in a peak Russia fear and seems to pretty much abated. I think that's relating back to the fact that Russia's not really that huge of a huge player on the global economy, and therefore things are going to bounce back pretty quickly.
Right. I mean, I'm glad you brought up the central bank reactions, because we know the big event for the month before this happened was the Federal Reserve's policy meeting. But this time around, you did outline a number of things. I mean, yes, Russia may not be a big part of the economy, but they happen to still be one of the top producers of oil and natural gas. We've seen it reflected in crude oil prices. This could feed into already high inflationary pressures. You also brought up the issue of potential dollar hoarding. And as we know, if the Fed begins to tighten policy, this could also see sources of liquidity also just withdrawn just a little bit. But so basically, with you have all of this and possibly even stagflation if oil prices or energy prices go up to a certain level. I mean, how complicated does this make the meeting by the Federal Reserve, by Jerome Powell and friends in a couple of weeks?
I would love to be a fly on the wall during those discussions, because
me too.
It's going to be quite interesting, really. Look, right now, I think the Russia-Ukraine conflict will raise inflation pressures. We're starting to see both Brent and WTI up nearly 4 to 5%. Palladium's up 6%. Copper is up, 1%? So I think this is getting sort of exacerbated in Europe right now, because the euro is weakening off also. You know, ideally in these circumstances of possible hyperinflation, countries want stronger currency to ward off importing inflation. However, you know, right now what I'm thinking is that geopolitical risk is trumping the inflation risk right now, and markets are starting to downgrade the central bank expectations. You know, only a week ago, or even a week and a half ago, perhaps, markets were actually discussing a 50 basis point hike in March. Now we're back to 25 basis points for the Fed hike in March. Will it even get softer if this seems to continue? I mean, the trend is lower as opposed to higher, whereas a week ago, the trend was higher as opposed to lower. So it's having a significant impact. And I think you correctly alluded to, and this is because stagflation is starting to enter the picture again. Now, we look at the shape of the curve is actually starting to price in rate cuts in 2024 and 2023. So that's an issue too. That's something that people have to keep in the back of their mind that, hey, we might only have a year or two to really enjoy this exuberance before things start to turn negative again. So it's a bit interesting. You know, all of this is really going to boil around oil and what oil is going to do, because oil right now is the key driver of inflation, and everybody has their eye on those Brent prices right now.
And very timely also, because it's not just the Fed that's going to have a very interesting meeting. In fact, in less than 24 hours, actually, OPEC and friends are set to meet in Vienna, Austria for that monthly ministerial meeting. And as we know, Russia is probably the most influential member of this bloc apart from Saudi Arabia. Now, given how tense things are and where how it's really impacted oil and gas markets, I'm curious, Stephen, do you think that the bloc will even address the events of the last couple of days and its impact on crude markets? And will this even convince them to perhaps divert from the current path of gradually raising output?
From what we understand, of course, we're looking from the outside in on this one here, is that OPEC's just going to continue supplying the market with their 400,000 allotment per day that they had anticipated back last year. So we're expecting that to happen. Will they, you know, be generous and supply more to the market? Well, there's always an outside chance that's going to happen, but that's an unlikely outside chance. So we have to look at where is there other sources of oil that could possibly happen. Well, we know that there's spare capacity in Saudi Arabia. We're going to completely take Russia out of the equation. I'll tell you why. Right now, the problem that we could have in Russia is we look at their product, which is Urals, is already trading at a pretty deep discount to Brent. My fear here is if there's a buyer strike on this specific sour grade of crude that pretty much is in big demand through Europe, then prices would go higher in Brent crude. This is simply an indication here. A widening of the spread would simply indicate that people aren't buying Urals. In other words, there's a buyer strike because people don't want to buy anything from Russia. Now, this is a problem. So this is the fear that the market's going to continue off. You know, ultimately, if energy becomes the battleground, so to speak, the next economic battleground, I think oil imports from Russia could be in the crosshairs. Mm-hmm. Unlikely as that would be, but hey, we've got to look at all aspects of any type of sanction retaliations that that Western economies may take. They may just suffer the short-term pain here, absorbing higher energy prices to really, really push Russia into a compromising position.
Now, the big question here is, if we start to see challenges to the global oil supply, where can we, can anybody else perhaps come in and fill the void if Russia is removed from the equation? And I think this, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I'm curious as to whether or not we'll see U.S. shale drillers rush back into the markets the same way they did when crude hit $100 early in the 2010s. Or is it different this time around, Stephen, for the wildcatters?
Well, I think we'll start off here by looking at the Russian situation and how that affects into the global oil mix, especially Europe as a big importer of not only oil but natural gas. This means it's really, really difficult to impose sanctions on Russian energy without having material adverse impact on the European economy. So I think that's going to be held in the back pocket of Western nations. I think everybody acknowledges that. Not only that, I think the central banks around the world are really have to acknowledge that disrupting energy flows from Russia are going to have negative consequences on everybody's economy. So again, that's another thing that's going to be held in the back pocket. Good point here. What's shale going to do? I think despite higher oil prices, from what I've been hearing from the shale community, is that oil companies have not indicated that they're going to increase their production. Instead, they're just going to enjoy these energy windfall gains. Shareholders are going to be happy. Hey, but people going to the pump aren't going to be happy, and this is a bit of a problem. Look, it's a very unpopular and a very politically contentious area right now is fossil fuel, especially with about 50% of the people in the U.S. They don't want investments into fossil fuels. And this is politically negative if Biden tries to influence shale producers to ramp up production. Look, Trump would have done it. Biden, I don't think they're going to do it. So I think you're just going to have to sit here and pay the piper every time you go to fill your car up.
And finally, Stephen, we can't stop end the conversation without talking about the impact on Forex markets, a very sensitive asset class. We've seen on more than one occasion, we had talk of the ruble, the Ukrainian hryvnia, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and even the euro seeing various degrees of weakness, the ruble hitting record lows because of the sanctions, and also some pointing to the yuan, the Chinese yuan, as actually a currency that stands to gain a lot from all of these events. What's your take on how this has rocked and will continue to roil FX markets now?
Yeah, it's interesting because everybody's trying to hedge some exposure and Russian exposure either through Eastern European countries or even some Asian currencies where there's some exposure. But look, as far as the ruble goes, it's just completely illiquid. You're not really going to get a genuinely right price here. I mean, the projected price that dropped out, what moved up last week was just a theoretical price in the offshore market. Central bank came in, hiked interest rates to 20%. That deters people from shorting the currency, and that's basically what happened. Leave the ruble alone. We can't find a really good price. So we'll look at where flows are going right now. Obviously, the euro is under pressure because the thought here is that it could have stagflationary effects into Europe. The ECB could be slow to remove qualitative easing. On top of that, that would imply that they're not going to hike interest rates this year. That's going to be negative for the euro, especially when you frame that around the Fed, who will continue to raise interest rates multiple times this year. And this is going to keep the euro under pressure. However, look at commodity currencies. Commodity currencies are on the front foot. That's simply a reflection of tight supplies of commodities. So things are a little bit mixed. If we're looking for a safe haven out of the bunch, I think it's still the U.S. dollar. I think ultimately, if you're looking to buy a bond in the market, which is really where the big flows go, if we do get to that tipping point where things actually start to escalate beyond the Ukraine border and perhaps an incident happens on NATO territory, then I think everybody will dive into U.S. bonds. I still think that's the safest haven to be with.
All right, Stephen Ennis, Managing Partner for SPI Asset Management. Thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 to talk about the recent events in Russia and Ukraine, how it's impacted market sentiment across asset classes, and its also impact on oil and forex trades. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times, and we look forward to the next time you join us on the show. Meanwhile, it has been a pleasure, sir. Hope you're having a great day out there.
Great. Thanks, JP. Talk soon.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.